Good morning, West Michigan. Before we get to any of the day's news, we need to kick things off with a severe weather alert for the Grand Rapids area. So please listen closely if you have outdoor plans or a commute coming up.
That's right. If you are heading out today or tomorrow, you need to be prepared. We are looking at a 100% chance of rain rolling in by Wednesday at 9 a.m., and that precipitation is expected to continue straight through the midday hours. Currently, it is 54 degrees and overcast here in Grand Rapids, with winds blowing out of the west-southwest at about 15 miles per hour. The humidity is sitting pretty high at 86%, making it feel exactly like that 54-degree reading. We will see temperatures hover right around the mid-50s for most of today under those broken clouds, but as we move into the overnight hours, temperatures are going to drop down to 44 degrees by Wednesday morning, right as that heavy rain system moves into the area.
Now, it is worth noting there is a bit of a discrepancy in the forecasting models right now. The official National Weather Service forecast is currently only calling for a 20% chance of showers, with a high of 57 on Wednesday. But given the severe alert data we are seeing flag a 100% chance of rain, you absolutely want to prepare for a washout.
Exactly. Keep an umbrella in the car, give yourself plenty of extra braking distance on the wet roads tomorrow morning, and check your local listings before heading out. It is always better to be safe than sorry when the meteorological models are conflicting like this during the volatile spring season.
For sure. Well, once you are safely indoors, we have a packed show for you. Today, we are going to break down the devastating impact of the windstorms that just ripped through West Michigan, leaving a trail of destruction in their wake.
And after that, we will take a deep dive into a massive expansion of the RX Kids financial support program, which is funneling millions of state dollars directly to new moms in our area. Let's get right into it.
We are still actively assessing the damage across the region after violent windstorms and severe thunderstorms battered Michigan on Monday, April 27th. And unfortunately, the human cost of this weather event has been incredibly tragic.
It really has been. Authorities confirmed that a 39-year-old man in Cortland Township was killed when a massive tree fell on him during the peak of the high winds. It is just a horrifying and heartbreaking reminder of how quickly these fast-moving spring storm systems can turn deadly for anyone caught outside.
Absolutely. Our thoughts are certainly with his family and the Cortland Township community. And beyond that tragic loss of life, the structural damage across the western side of the state has been immense. Over in Kalamazoo, the sheer force of a falling tree actually caused a residential roof to completely collapse inward.
That Kalamazoo incident was terrifying. According to emergency reports, one person had to be rushed to the hospital with injuries, and four other residents were temporarily trapped inside the home under the debris before first responders could safely extract them. It's a miracle there weren't more fatalities in that specific collapse. The sheer raw force of this system was remarkable from a meteorological standpoint. We are talking about sustained winds blowing between 45 to 55 miles per hour across broad areas of the state, and there were isolated gusts reaching up to 70 miles per hour, especially as you got closer to the Lake Michigan shoreline. Right. 70-mile-per-hour gusts are basically bordering on hurricane-force winds, and our regional infrastructure simply isn't built to shrug that off without taking a hit. By Monday evening, utility companies were reporting over 73,000 power outages across the state, leaving huge swaths of West Michigan in the dark.
Which brings up a recurring and often heated debate every time we get hit by a storm of this magnitude. How do utility companies realistically balance the astronomical cost of preventative tree trimming against the frequency of these severe wind events? Consumers Energy and others spend millions on vegetation management, but they obviously can't catch every compromised branch.
They really can't. And critics of the utility companies often argue that they need to invest significantly more in burying lines or dramatically expanding their clearing radiuses around critical infrastructure. But the utilities will point out that burying lines in established, heavily wooded neighborhoods is incredibly expensive, logistically difficult, and highly disruptive to residents.
And ultimately, those massive infrastructure costs get passed down to the ratepayers, so there is always this inherent tension. Do we, as a region, want to pay significantly higher monthly utility bills for a marginal increase in grid resilience, Or do we accept that a 70-mile-per-hour gust is inevitably going to knock the power out for a couple of days every spring?
It is a tough pill to swallow when you are the one sitting in the dark with a refrigerator full of spoiled food. Or worse, dealing with a mature tree crashing through your living room. The speed of this particular storm was also a major factor in the destruction. It moved through so quickly that a lot of people were caught entirely off guard.
Yeah, meteorologists were tracking the front, but the intensity of the wind gusts right on the leading edge of the storm was exceptional. When the ground is already heavily saturated from typical spring rains, whole root systems just give way. It isn't just a matter of trimming branches. It is entire, seemingly healthy trees uprooting completely. And that highlights the heroic and dangerous work of our first responders and line workers. The crews out in Kalamazoo extracting those four residents from the collapsed roof, and the utility workers pulling 16-hour shifts in hazardous conditions to clear live wires from the roadways, they really bear the brunt of the immediate recovery effort. They certainly do. And as we head deeper into the spring severe weather season, this event is a stark reminder to take severe thunderstorm warnings seriously. We tend to get complacent in Michigan if we don't hear the word tornado, but straight-line winds and microbursts can cause equivalent devastation. Especially if you live in heavily wooded, rural areas where towering trees are right next to your property. It's a sobering start to the week for West Michigan, and we'll continue to track the cleanup efforts and any ongoing power restoration timelines in the coming days.
Shifting gears to a major public policy development, the RX Kids is officially expanding to include several West Michigan neighborhoods, and the sheer scale and philosophy of this initiative is pretty unprecedented for our state. It really is a paradigm shift. For those who aren't familiar with it, RX Kids is a universal, no-strings-attached cash prescription program designed for pregnant mothers and infants. And when the organizers say universal, they mean it literally. There are absolutely no income or work requirements to qualify for these funds. Right. If you live in a participating location and you are pregnant, you are eligible to enroll. The program provides a one-time direct cash payment of $1,500 during the pregnancy and then follows that up with $500 per month for the baby's first 6 months of life. That is a massive financial safety net, especially when you consider the current cost of diapers, formula, and pediatric care. And the state of Michigan is throwing serious financial weight behind it. As of early 2026, RX Kids has received over $300 million in state appropriations for fiscal years 2024 through 2026. $300 million is a huge chunk of taxpayer money, and it is naturally sparking a lot of intense debate in Lansing. The core philosophy here is that direct, unrestricted cash allows mothers to cover whatever essential costs they actually need, whether that's making rent, buying healthy groceries, paying medical bills, or just keeping a reliable car running to get to prenatal appointments. Proponents of the program argue that by removing the traditional means testing, where you have to prove your poverty level, you eliminate the bureaucratic hurdles that often prevent the most vulnerable, marginalized families from getting help. You don't have to fill out endless forms or face a cliff where earning an extra dollar at work costs you your benefits. But critics are looking closely at that no-strings-attached model and raising their eyebrows. When you don't have income caps, you are technically allowing middle-class or even wealthy families who just happen to live in those specific participating zip codes to claim thousands of dollars in taxpayer-funded cash. That's exactly the primary point of contention. How do policymakers reconcile handing out public money without verifying financial need? The counterargument from the program's architects is that the administrative cost of means testing, hiring caseworkers, and auditing recipients often eats up a huge portion of the budget anyway, making the universal approach more efficient. Plus, they argue that the long-term health outcomes justify the upfront cost. Michigan has historically struggled with unacceptable infant mortality and child poverty rates in certain urban and rural pockets. By injecting cash directly into these households during the critical prenatal and early infancy periods, they are hoping to permanently move the needle on those metrics.
It is essentially treating poverty as a root cause public health crisis and prescribing cash as the medicine, hence the name, RX Kids. But the real test is going to be the data. What specific health and economic metrics are the state and researchers going to use to evaluate if this $300 million was well spent?
Exactly. They will be looking closely at low birth weight rates, maternal stress levels, infant mortality, and even local economic indicators like housing stability and eviction rates. If those numbers improve dramatically in the participating West Michigan neighborhoods, it validates the entire universal cash model.
And if they don't, or if the improvements are only marginal, you can bet that this massive appropriation is going to be heavily scrutinized or put on the chopping block in the next budget cycle. It is a high-stakes social experiment playing out right in our backyards.
It truly is. And it's fascinating to see West Michigan become a proving ground for this approach. We are seeing a distinct shift away from traditional welfare models like SNAP or WIC that dictate exactly what you can and can't buy, toward a model that essentially says we trust mothers to know what their individual families need the most.
That is a profound philosophical shift in how we handle social safety nets in this country. It's going to be very interesting to track the outcomes of RX kids over the next couple of years as this cohort of babies grows up and the data starts rolling in.
All right, we have a few more quick stories from around Kent County and West Michigan to hit before we wrap up today's episode. Let's run through the roundup.
First up, local law enforcement agencies are issuing urgent warnings about a sophisticated spoofing scam. Criminals are actively manipulating caller ID technology to make it look like they are calling from a legitimate police department or a county non-emergency line. They use that fake authority to demand money, threaten immediate arrest, or ask for sensitive information like your social security number. Remember, real police officers will never call you to demand gift card payments or threaten you over the phone. If you get a call like this, hang up immediately and call the department's official public number to verify. In an update to the Kent District Library situation, the system is still recovering from that major ransomware event that began on Friday, April 24th. While most branches remain closed, as of Tuesday, four locations have reopened with limited services. Those are the Cascade Township, Kentwood, Plainfield Township, and Wyoming branches. You can check out materials and use the Wi-Fi there, but public PCs, printers, and copiers are still offline. Thankfully, digital services like Libby, Hoopla, and Canopy remain fully operational while the cybersecurity teams work on the internal network. On a lighter note, congratulations are in order for three Manistee High School students who recently earned all-conference honors for Quiz Bowl. Christian Erlinson, Andy O'Donnell, and Nia all took home top recognition for their impressive academic competitive chops.
It is always great to see academic extracurriculars getting some well-deserved spotlight in the region. Quiz Bowl requires a massive amount of studying and lightning-fast recall, so hats off to Christian, Andy, and Nia for representing Manistee High School so well in their conference.
Finally, if you commute on I-196 eastbound near the John Ball Zoo, brace yourself. Local drivers are sounding off online about an absolute crater of a pothole in the right lane that just keeps coming back after every fix. It's being dubbed the perpetual pothole by frustrated commuters. MDOT crews will patch it, and within months, it's right back to wrecking suspensions. It really highlights the ongoing frustration with temporary asphalt patches in early spring versus long-term structural road repairs. So definitely keep your eyes peeled. That is going to wrap things up for us today on Grand Rapids Daily. Thanks, as always, for making us part of your routine. Stay safe out there in the severe weather, and we'll be back tomorrow with more local news.